following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. Today is March 27th. 2023. Just thought a 327 is a good engine back in the day. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And we just got a two-week ding on YouTube for medical misinformation. I guess that's because last week I quoted the CDC. And I guess you're not allowed to do that. I guess you're not allowed to directly go to the CDC website and directly show the information from the CDC website. So that's what I did. I think in the after show I did that, and I think that's what it is. We have some haters who don't like what I do on the radio and on the web, and they think that they know better, and that we're not allowed to go against the lockstep movement that people have to the COVID stuff. So yeah, what I did was I went to in the after show last week. I went to the COVID website. I mean, COVID website, the CDC website, and I just showed. I showed from their statistics. I didn't do anything. I just showed what they do. I showed, here's how you do this, and said, see. This is how many deaths are related to this and that. And that's the only thing I did last week. And I think, Laura, if you could type it in what they said, been banned from YouTube for 2 weeks, and if we do it one more time, it'll be banned permanently. So I don't know what that means. So does that mean the Karma account, the YouTube account? What? I don't know. So just to let you know, we're over in Rumble. We're going to Rumble a lot. So because of sound censorship, we'll be moving to Rumble. And you can go to Rumble. That's what we do. Here, let me go right there. Rumble.com. And, yeah, let's see. Got some stuff going. So, it's a lot better over there. And, anyway, there it is. So, I'm looking at it right now. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. One of the nice things about Rumble is that you can do rants, a Rumble rant, and that's where you donate a little bit. You got to sign up and you do all that stuff, but you can do that. Now, we don't have that many watching on Rumble right now because it's a new platform. It's not as popular as YouTube, and we get it, but we are going to be moving over there. We're recommending others go over there, too. In fact, I was talking to talk with Bill McKeever night before. I can't remember. Saturday night. That's right. Whew. Because I was down in Salt Lake City, went down there over the weekend. I was down there. Let's see. So I wasn't on Thursday, Friday. I had to drive down Thursday and was going to be at a high school thing on Friday with Eric Johnson. Stayed with Eric and his wife, Terry. Terry's awesome. I think she's smiling right now as I'm waving. She listens to me every day. That's what I hear. Poor woman. And she's such a sweetie, too. She's a sweetie. And so what happened was we went there for the retirement party, the retirement thing for Sandra Tanner. Now, if you don't know who Sandra Tanner is, she's in her 80s now. And Gerald passed away, I don't know, 15 years ago, whatever it was. And she is probably the number one expert on Mormonism in the world. She has done such great research and incredible stuff at Utah Lighthouse Ministry. And I've had the privilege of meeting her several times. And we went to Israel about 6 years ago together. And I like to help the ladies, you know. I like to help the people who move slowly and at the end of the pack. What I'll do is I'll stay back there. I did it this last time I was there earlier this month. And you know, just stay with the people who need help, you know, and I just hold on to my arm and we'll walk up the hill and together. And so did that with Sandra. So we got to know each other a little bit better then. Sandra is awesome. And we had this retirement thing at a church on Friday night, and then Saturday over at Eric and Terry's. She was there too with a smaller group of people. It was a lot of fun. And then Sunday. And Saturday night. Saturday evening had dinner with Micah and Ed Romine, who I call Romaine Salad, and Rudy and Laura and her. I'm embarrassed. I can't remember Laura's husband's name. Every time I hear it, I go, "Oh yeah, that's right." And we had a good dinner, and maybe Laura will tell me the name and get his first name in there. We had a nice dinner at a Thai restaurant there in American Fork. And then on the way home, I went and stopped at Bill's house, spent a couple, 3 hours there, and then drove back yesterday. Now, what was interesting was it was really, really bad snow. We were doing 20 miles an hour on the freeway there in the 15. You could only see a quarter mile at best, and we did that for quite a while. It took a while to get back, and That's right, Terry. Laura's husband, Terry's a great guy. I like him. He's a nice guy. Elder of the church there with Rudy, who's a pastor. And so we had a good meal, good time, and talked to Bill and his wife, Tammy, and drove back, and a lot of snow. Snow squalls, and the whole bit was weather. Now, I like weather. I enjoy it. Anyway, that was it. Carrie? That's right. Carrie. Okay, got it. With names. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, all right? All right. Wait a minute. I thought we were banned from YouTube. So how come we're on YouTube? No, we're not. We're on, I don't know what we're on. What are we on? Facebook, Twitter, Odyssey, and Rumble. Let's get to Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, what's up, Chuck?
Hey, Matt. Well, the ducks are up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. Let me turn off. I think that I want to get your take on it, and it has to do exactly with Christianity and the sovereignty of the individual, you know, like the priesthood of the believer.
You're muffled.
Hold on.
It sounds
not the collective.
Chuck, you're muffled.
We are going
it's
into
hard.
The collective.
Chuck,
it's like,
you're muffled.
You study a lot about the Soviet.
Okay. He can't hear me, and I don't know if the connection is very good. So, Chuck, I got you on hold because you're very muffled, and I'm having trouble understanding what you're saying. So,
okay, Matt. Better.
Okay, I'm going to hang up on him because if we could, he can call back because it was such a bad line. I don't think he could hear me. It's a bad connection. I don't know what's up. Chuck, call back, okay? Please call back. Sorry about that, but that's just a bad connection. It's, it happens. All right, so Chuck, call back. Now, on Fox News, I'm looking. Christian school massacre suspect identified as transgender. Police found maps manifesto. There's another shooting, of course. Where at a Christian school, apparently. Interesting. Why would someone go into a Christian school and shoot people? Get more information about that. And that has happened. It's unfortunate. Please pray for those people. And for the perpetrator, because that person needs prayer as well. So, let's see. What else? Oh, my goodness. All right. All right. Now we'll try this again. Chuck, all right, you're back. Okay, give it.
Yes, sir. This is Chuck back from Burlington. Do you hear me, Matt?
Yeah, it's a better connection now. All right, what's up, man? What do you got?
Do you hear me okay, Matt?
Yes, I said yes. Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
Yes, but, you know, I've got bad hearing and I'm...
Okay.
Anyway, what I was saying before was... The Reformation and with Christianity before that. Individual faith in Christ gives you the priesthood of the believer, and that gives you the individual, not the collective. We're going to the collective. We're losing Christianity. I saw a bad statistic on Newsmax today, like 39% don't think religion is important anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, 29% don't care about having kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. But anyway, it's the collective. And then, you know, studying Hitler and Stalin, they believed only in the collective will.
Right.
Uh-huh. So that's why you're getting banned. You're not allowed to have your collective will, your collective belief. Your individual belief. Because of the individuality of the priesthood of believer. I believe it lies in that. Am I wrong?
Well, I can't say you're wrong or right here. The thing is that Christianity is under heavy attack, but there are a lot of Christians in America, and I think what's happening is the goats that are intermingled in the sheep are leaving, and so the overall population is down of churches. But there are a lot of good believers. I know I was at a church on Friday night for the Sandra Tanner thing. Just a great number of a couple hundred people who just love the Lord. Great people. There are a lot of good Christians out there. But we're not unified.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we're not unified. And the Biden crime family is in charge, and they're selling our country down to the Chinese, and the borders are open, and the debacle of exiting Afghanistan, and the things that are happening in our country. It's my opinion. It looks like a concerted effort to destroy us from inside. And it's going to happen.
Yeah, it looks like our
empire
is falling. You know, with the acceptance of homosexuality, we started going down to hell like on a grease pole.
Yeah. Well, yes, in history, homosexuality is one of the common factors that arises before a nation falls. Not in every case, but here's how it is. You know, if you have a country where you have a common faith, a common morality, a common direction, there's unity and strength. In order to destroy a country like ours, you can't destroy it externally because we're too strong, militarily speaking. So you have to go internal. And the thing to do is to destroy religion and destroy the nature of truth and set people apart and against each other and undermine any ways of unity. You have to get control of the media, which is the mainstream media is just leftist, get control of the schools. You have to discredit churches. And this is what's happening. And Christianity is being undermined. And a lot of Christians in churches don't know what their faith is. In fact, just as a side note, I regularly will encounter Christians and ask them basic Christian doctrine questions, and most of them don't know the answers. Basic. We go to churches for years. And so, in my opinion, that this is a warning that the pastors aren't teaching what they need to teach. In fact, let's just say that in the past year, two out of three churches that I've gone to, the pastors have preached moralism and not biblical, Christocentric, cross-centered theology. But they've lots of illustrations. And then after you've made sure that the people are entertained enough, then you get to the text, and then it's moralism. So this is what I've encountered. And it's just bad. It's bad. It's all over the place. Hey, we've got a break coming up. Hold on, man. We'll get going. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back, please. Stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get back on here with Chuck. There we go. Hey, Chuck, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir, Matt. And I'd like to say one thing. I saw part of the Trump rally this weekend on Newsmax, and he might be crude, rude, and socially unacceptable, but love him, and he's a lot better than the alternative.
Well, yeah, the Democrats, as I've gone over before, the Republicans aren't much better. But the Democrats are the party of slavery and Jim Crow laws and KKK. And yeah, it's bad. And they're full of lies and stuff. I just saw a news clip about... Chuck, you're constantly the phone. Okay, Chuck.
Awful.
I had to hang up because, Chuck, I'm trying to get a hold of you, but there's just not a good connection. The phone's going in and out, and I'm with you, man. It's bad news, but you got to call back, get a better connection. I don't know. Sometimes it happens like that. So I don't know where he was or if he's traveling or whatever. But, Chuck, sorry about that, man. Call me, go back, okay? Let's get on the air with Connie from Utah. Hey, Connie, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, hi. Matt, I'm always excited when I get a tune in. I love to listen to you. And listen, I heard you talk about a retirement party for Sandra Tanner. And
yes.
I would have loved to be in on that. I came down just for one of the first times I ever went to her shop there and met her. But before that, I think she had COVID, and I got to meet Eric Johnson. Mm-hmm. As a previous Mormon, I'm really happy to have met him, and he put me in touch with a couple of folks that I could have learned from and, you know, to further my Christian journey. But anyway, talking about unification, where do I find out about all this? Because when it comes to the end times, and Christians need to be unified, and
yes.
Christians need to, you know, I'm just so concerned, like a lot of us are, about what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, we see what the Democrats are doing to us. And, you know, there's a lot of good people out there. And I just heard you say something about unification. And I thought, how can we be more unified as Christian, you know, front against what's going on?
Well, it's easy. I mean, they need to, all the Christians and the pastors and the elders need to start having meetings with other churches and just make sure that the pastors are praying together and working together and focusing on the essentials of the faith, not the differences. So, you know, I'm Presbyterian, and I could work with a Baptist. And I know some people who don't hold the Presbyterian perspectives, and yet they love the Lord. We can go witness together. This kind of thing needs to be promoted. But another thing that needs to be promoted is the cost of discipleship. And a lot of pastors aren't really talking about it. And unfortunately, what's happening in a lot of churches is that instead of the church being outward-oriented, it's inward-oriented. It's take care of the people and see what we can get from God. You know, it's babysit the Christians, and how do we get more? You know, how do we get more money? How do we get more of this? How do we get more comfort?
No.
How do we get more prosperity? And this, unfortunately, has been promoted out into third world countries, which I've got people who've come back from there and said it's all over the place. It's because it appears of the sinfulness of flesh. And so God's not going to bless people when they're doing that. And how many sermons have you heard about picking up your cross daily and following after Christ and the cost of what it might mean to follow after him? Have you ever heard stuff on that?
Yes. I'm happy with my congregation. I really am. And we recently had a theme study for a couple of weeks on what's going on with the this transgender movement. I mean, I was really proud of our pastors that they brought that forth and thought, you know, a biblical view on this and how we respond to loved ones and things like that. So yes, I do, and I am. I'm looking for pastors to kind of stand up and to give us guidance in those kind of areas. So I am happy with my church, but I'm sad to hear about a prosperity gospel, and those kind of things are just horrible. God's not up there just as our little genie, just waiting for us to rub the lamp and say, give me this and give me this. It's servitude. It's all about a servitude attitude, right?
Right. Yeah, picking up our cross and following after Christ and being more like him and, you know, to be other-centered. And unfortunately, the Christian church lives here in America, lives in a very comfortable environment, and that's good. But the thing is that with a comfortable environment, we become lackadaisical. We're not really relying on prayer and meditation on God's word and things like that. And so we have a lack of unity in the body. And we could do a great deal if we were unified. I mean, this transgender idiocy, you know, which is being, you know, for example, the stuff where they have drag queens, it's just perverted, and they go and they teach children in public libraries. What if you had people going in teaching children publicly in public libraries, teaching about Christianity? Oh, we can't have that because separation of church and state. Yeah. But you can have sexual perversion being taught to our children. It's ridiculous. The Christians need to stand up and say, we've had enough of this, and they need to march. Yeah. They need to be very vocal. But they don't, because they might lose something, you know, and risk something. We got to risk. I'm sorry, but we do. I know what it means to risk. We got to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, what do you take up your cross and follow Jesus, or do you live with what you have, your home, your family? You know, I thank God haven't lost my family because I left, you know, a work-based church. I pray for them daily. But I'm, like I said, I'm so grateful that I didn't lose my, not that I know of, that I've lost some of my family. I mean, they still accept me. They tell me they love me. I still have a relationship with them, but... But yeah, I agree. I just was wondering about how we can stay unified as just in your community, I guess, with your pastors and just standing up for Jesus, I guess. Huh?
Well, yeah, you know, I would like to do an experiment where they allow me to preach at a church for 6 months every Sunday, just to see how many people leave. Because, you know, I'm half joking, but really? Half joking. Oh, yeah, people would leave because I have no desire to tickle anybody's ears. I have the desire to honor my Lord. And just as the text says, let's go through the text, and that's it. Wherever we're at, that's what it says. You don't like it? That's not my problem. Here's what it says. And I'm not saying a lot of pastors don't do that. But, you know, I would just think that if I were to take over a church of 1,000 people, that within 6 months it would be down to 500. That's just my opinion. So,
well, I like people, of course, I don't have 500 friends either. So,
well, that's good. Wow.
Well,
I appreciate that. You know, how long have you been out of the Mormon Church? Whoops, we got a break.
Oh, I never really took it seriously. When I left home,
can you hold on? You know, we have a break. Can you hold on? Can we have a break? Okay.
Sure.
Okay, well, right, when we get back, we'll talk about that one here. Hey, folks, four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Okay, Connie. All right, you're back on the air. Sorry about that. All right, so you're telling me about how long you've been a Christian, I think it was, or something, right?
Well, yes, thank God. It's like I said, I never really, it never really took for me, and I have a one temple Mormon brother, and actually I'm married a temple Mormon. I figure there's a distinction when you're a card-carrying Mormon. But my husband called once. I remember I recently, we brought him, I say we, I don't, maybe Spirit, brought him to Jesus a while back. He's still fighting some demons, but that's here nor there. But yeah, I actually went to some kind of other kind of a cult thing, but at least I learned the word. I learned the Bible for a little while, the Way Ministry. And I don't know whatever happened to them, but at least it got me to reading the Bible. And that's what I pray for some people, just read the Bible by themselves as a child. And somehow God brought me out of terrible life I was in and said, this is not the life I have for you. And I started going to a Baptist church. And from now, I'm in a non-denominational, wonderful, wonderful place. Years later. But
praise God. Yes. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's true. Praise God.
Yes, that's right. Praise God. And not a church. But praise God for his mercy and grace in you. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah,
all right.
But I am part of his church. Yeah. Praise God.
So. That's right.
So, yeah. Unification. I would love to be in the loop. Give Sandra Tanner my love. And I'm so glad for the work she's done. And
yeah, she's great. I've known her for years. Mm-hmm. And she's awesome. And just a... just an incredible, knowledgeable person on Mormonism. And she was telling some stories Saturday at the Johnson's house about some stuff with the Salamander letter and some other things. She was telling us how that went. And it was, you know, just good stuff to hear her talk and stuff like that. So enjoyed it. All right.
Okay. Yeah, well, thanks. I'm glad to have talked to you. And
well, good.
Yeah.
All right, Connie. Loop. Well, thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. God bless you.
You too. God bless. All right. Hey, let's just jump on with Travis from North Carolina. Travis, welcome. You are on the air.
Matt Slick, I cannot believe we're talking about you, man. I was just like a few hours ago released from prison, and I've been in there 5 years, and I was listening to your show. Just, it was absolutely a godsend, man, for me to go to prison and get to hear you, because you brought me to my faith, man. I quit believing for a long time. I was raised in church, and I just left. I got into drugs and gangs and stuff, and I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I was listening to a show, and it was on commercial, so I flipped down, and I heard you talking, and once I heard it was a God thing, I wasn't going to stay on there, but then I heard you, like, do your thing where somebody was arguing, and they was being really obstreperous, and you hung up on him, and I was like, this dude might be all right. And there was a question that had been lingering in my mind for so long. I'm like, if somebody would just answer this question, maybe it wouldn't make me a Christian, but it would at least open the door for me. And the very next caller that came on asked the question that had been in my mind, and I looked at my radio like it had sprouted ears. I'm like, no. And then it just all made sense, and I started listening. But I've been away from that area for about a year and a half now, so I haven't been able to listen to you. And I've been praying for you. I hope everything's going good with you and Miss Anique. And you just helped me so much, Matt.
Wow. Well, you know, the glory goes to the Lord. Praise God. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So you just got out. You said a few hours ago.
Hours ago, and you was the first person I wanted to call.
Wow. Well, praise God, and I appreciate that.
I called the number on the CARM website, and I left you a voicemail. I'm not sure if you got it yet, but
you have to do.
Yeah, man,
have to catch up on the voicemail. So,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I have to catch up on the voicemail.
I enrolled in a couple of, like, correspondence Bible courses and stuff while I was in there, and I tried to start teaching myself Greek, and I started reading, and I started studying, and I've gotten really in. I'm in the truest sense of the word. I'm a Slickite.
Well, okay.
Hey, is everybody listening to this? Matt has not paid me for this. This is not nobody trying to put me up. This is true testimony, y'all.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know you probably got other callers. I will be a consistent caller. You'll be hearing from me a lot because I got a lot of questions.
That's fine, but man, here's my concern, man. I want you, because I noticed, like, I did 9 years of prison ministry. I talked to a lot of the guys on the inside and a lot of the guys on the outside, and once I got out. And, you know, you just got to get in. I hope you have a good, stable place to stay and a good church you can go to. Those are really important.
Absolutely. My mom and dad's helping me out. Couple months, I'm going to be actually moving my parole to Ohio. I got into a culinary school up there, and they pay me while I work. It's an education. But I'm going to be trying to do an online seminary or something, try to get into seminary somewhere online while I'm doing that.
Good for
you.
And
try to get into, like, youth ministry, help kids and help teenagers and people try to stay out of this stuff.
Well, you know what? I actually know a guy, and I won't say his name, but I know someone who did felony time, and he's now a pastor. And he said something
to me once. The church I'm going to this weekend to do. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm listening.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, the church I'm going to this weekend, it's my sister's church, but the pastor, he was real bad and struggling out on drugs, and he's a pastor now. I don't know if he ever did time, but he's a pastor now. He's a pretty good dude.
Good. Well, I remember the pastor that I know, we were talking about this once, and I said, so what was it that you did? And he looked at me and he said, that man is gone, that man is dead, I don't talk about him anymore. Went, good enough. I never forgot that. It was a good answer. That's right. And he says he serves the Lord, and he's willing to die for the Lord. So, you know, praise God, man.
Well, keep your eye on the news. I'm gonna try to start the third great awakening, man.
Well, we need something like that. Just gotta get on your knees and start praying, man. And that's what's needed. All right. Okay, buddy.
I know you got other callers. I'll get to my question. If I might squeeze this one in here, if you think it's too long of an answer or something, you can skip by this and I'll try it another time. But how might we go about bringing something before legislation? Religion, by definition, a belief that is held to, that that you fervently hold your life to. And so they say we can't preach religion in school, but they're preaching evolution and humanism and naturalism. Why can't we teach creationism? Yeah. Science does not support evolution in the least.
I understand what you're saying, and I don't know the legal stuff, so you'd have to pray, ask God to open the right doors and talk to the right people and see how things can go, because it's a big issue, and you never know how things work. But I'm just a theologian, and so I don't know the political system and how to get at something before the courts and all that kind of stuff. You have to find people who are trained in that area, and lawyers and stuff. Okay.
Yeah. I listened to Bishop Jackson, too, on the radio. He might know something about that.
Okay.
I'll get to my question for you. You get everybody else online. So this limited atonement thing, I'm with the total depravity, the irresistible grace, the perseverance of the saints. The unconditional election was another one, but I'll get that one on tomorrow. But the limited atonement thing, I've been told for so long, Christ, God will not send, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, God will not send somebody to hell for their sin. They will send them to hell for not believing in the atoning sacrifice.
Yeah, nothing like that's in Scripture. Nothing like that.
Okay.
See, people are judged for their sins. They're not judged because they don't have sin, but because they have sin. And not believing in Jesus is a sin. Because Jesus says in John 14:1, believe in God, believe also in me. He's commanding it. This is what is obligatory. People are obligated to believe in the true and living God and in Christ. So it's all an issue of sin. So people who say that kind of a thing are not very theologically adept. Sorry, but that's what it is. So limited atonement theory is the idea that Jesus only legally bore the sin of the elect, though his blood is sufficient for all. But only the elect had their sins atoned for specifically. And then people say, well, no, you have to believe to apply it. No, you don't. The application of upon belief is of justification, not propitiation. The atoning sacrifice is a propitiatory sacrifice. It removes the wrath. It removes the punishment. But that just means that's removed. And then you're justified, which is credited with righteousness, when you believe. They're different. So one is propitiatory, one is justification. Propitiation occurred at the cross and is finished there. And justification occurs when you believe. They're different. People don't know the difference often. Okay? Make sense? There's a break, buddy. We got to go.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Call back again, okay?
God bless you, Mr. Neek, and I hope everything's good with y'all.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, Travis. Good stuff. I love hearing that. Good stuff. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show, the last segment of the hour. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Sue from Utah. Sue, welcome. You're on the air.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Sure.
I went to a Bible study the other day, and usually we're, right in the Word, in the Bible. And this time they talked, they had a Bible study that was led by Joseph Prince.
Yeah, bad news.
Have you ever heard of him before?
Yes, I would never trust Joseph Prince. He is a word of faith teacher. He's a word of faith teacher. So faith
word
is a
faith.
Force. Yeah, word of faith. Name it and claim it. God wants you healthy and wealthy. Things like that. Okay,
we were trying to tell them that, you know, we red flags popped up right away, and you know, these friends have been listening to him for the last 2 years, and we've tried to tell them that same thing that you just said. Is there anything in scripture that, or anything that you've seen on his website that I can tell them?
No, I don't have anything specific written on him, I don't believe. Of course, I've written so much stuff I can't remember a lot of the times. So I've written like 5,000 articles. But I can tell you that I would avoid Joseph Prince. I'd avoid him.
Okay.
You can find a lot of stuff. You can find a lot of stuff on the web, and maybe, and there's so many things I'm working on. I'm actually trying to develop a video. I'm going to do an experiment with a specific video on something, and I have to teach myself some concepts and some ideas. But there are lots of sites out there that will list out the specific doctrines. When I do look, here's the thing I don't like about a lot of other websites. Sorry, but this is just me. That if you're going to find out what they teach and stuff, I want to see a link to what it is they say in a bullet point area so you can see exactly what the heresy is. But a lot of sites, you've got to read through a bunch of stuff to find out what the problem is. So, but they are out there. They are out there, all right? So, but stay away from Prince. And I don't think I have anything on him. You know what? I got to check. I have so much stuff that it's hard to tell. Let's see. I'm going to just look. Preachers and teachers. Do I have anything on him? I'm looking through stuff. I got all this stuff I haven't even released yet. And Nope, I don't.
It was kind of like hyper grace, you know, where
you don't have
to do anything I know Jesus is our Savior and our good works are like filthy rags, but he's like, you know, name it and claim it. You know, if you try to heal yourself, whatever it is, that you can have it, prosperity or wealth or whatever.
Yeah, and that's the heresy. It's not it. It's part of what I was talking about earlier in the show, is that what churches are preaching now is that God wants to make you healthy and wealthy. And that's who says so? And they take verses out of context, and this is just, it's horrible. It is. It's horrible. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So I'll need to do,
put
it on
my
list. You're welcome, you know, and I wish I had better information for you. But he's a positive confession, word of faith guy, bad news. It is bad news.
Okay?
All right.
Thanks
well,
so
God
much.
Bless. You're welcome so much. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. All right, let's get to Joshua from Tennessee. Joshua, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What do you got there?
So, I believe that none of us are good people. I think by our deeds, I think we are all wicked by our deeds. I think all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and none of us are righteous by our work. And I was speaking to a Catholic about this, and he ripped this verse out of context. That is Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, which says, in the New American Standard Bible, the good person brings out of his good treasure good things, and the evil person brings out of his evil treasure evil things. Now, obviously, Jesus can be saying that this person is good by their deeds, because there's overwhelming scripture that states otherwise. So I'm wondering if you could put this in the context for me and what exactly Jesus is talking about.
It's just talking about a general goodness. We have a level of goodness on a human level. So if an atheist is walking behind someone at an airport, a man reaches in, grabs his keys or something, and money falls out. And the atheist is behind him and says, "Hey, sir, you dropped your money." And he helps him out. On the human level, we say that's a good thing he did. Now, on the God level, right, of course, it's not. So that's all that Jesus is talking about, because he's talking to the Jews about fulfilling righteousness, doing those things according to the law. And so, yeah, you're good in that respect, but he's not saying that they're good in their nature and their essence. That's all that's going on, okay?
Okay, okay. So he's just bringing the word good down to our level.
Yeah, and that's fine, because Jesus is down to our level. He's a man, and he walked, and got hungry, and had to sleep. And that's all that's going on. So when a Catholic says this, you say, yeah, you're right. You know, and does say, the good fruit, a good tree brings good fruit, but you don't become a good tree by bearing good fruit. The fruit is the result of the nature of what it is. So you do good because you're regenerate. God's granted us good works, and that's what this says in Ephesians 2:8-9, right? And, it's... what does it say? We have been saved unto good works. I forget what the verse is. So there's a verse that talks about this, and here it is. Yeah, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's Ephesians 2:10. So we are to do certain things, and these things on that level, yeah, they're good. So that's what it is. But they're not salvific. The Catholic thinks that the knowledgeable Catholic in Catholicism will believe that these things are salvific, that the good works help them in their salvation, which is false, of course. Okay? So you're on the right track, but just got to learn a little bit more about how they word things, let's just say. And so, yeah, there are good things that people can do on the human level. When you get into the ultimate level, only God is good, and no one does good, Romans 3, 10, 11, and 12, all are evil. Then you ask, you can talk about the two different senses in which goodness can be obtained and understood. That's what's going on.
Okay, yeah. So I always thought it was a strictly, the word good biblically was strictly in the sense of perfection, essentially, in the eyes of God. And when we're declared righteous, all of our sins are washed away. There are none of our sins in his sight. They are forgotten. And so that's how I always put good.
Well, the word good is the Greek word agathos. And what I'm going to do right now, it's number 18, because it starts with an alpha, the letter A. And it's used 102 times. And so the word good is going to have a semantic domain, a range of meanings. In Matthew 7:11, Jesus says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children." Oh, wait, how can you be evil and know how to give a good gift? So he's juxtaposing things here, and he's talking about, well, you're evil in your heart, but you can still do good things with your children. So Jesus is not talking about the ontological necessity of goodness as a standard of God's character. He's about the people and the levels that they're at. And that's what he's doing there. He says, "How much more will your Father give in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him?" And he went to this verse, good tree, as you talked about. And someone said to him, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And this is Matthew 19:16. And Jesus says, he doesn't say you're not good. He says, well, why call, what's good? Why call me good? Only God is good. And he says, keep the commandments. So what Jesus is doing is saying keeping the commandments is a good thing on the human level.
Right.
But it's not what saves us. And the cults, false religions like Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism, what they'll do is combine good works with faith and or their rituals, baptism and sacraments or whatever it is, combined with faith in order to be right with God. And that's where the error is. And that's what you got to separate, okay?
Okay. All right. I'll make sure to, look more into the semantics of what Jesus was talking about and the usage of good. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. It's called doing a word study. And see, now here's a good example of something. You talked to a Catholic gave you a challenge, and there was a point to what he said. So now what you need to do, I would recommend, is you get your get a way of writing these things down. I use outlines, and I use Word, and I use outlines. And so you write down the word good and research it. How many times is it used in the New Testament? What's the Greek word? And just find different places where it occurs, and then find a range. And not that you have to use that again later, but you might. Because people don't realize, this is my theory about how God teaches us, is that he gives us the mortar to place the bricks. The mortar is the truth of who he is and what his word reveals. The brick is a little truth thing that you might learn, like the word good. And people, what they do a lot of times, in my opinion, is they don't pay attention to what God's teaching them through these little things. That God has allowed you, for example, to as an opportunity to grow in your understanding of the word agathos in Greek, good, and how it has a semantic range and different meanings and different levels. Well, you could write that down. That's one brick in a foundation of truth. And in a week, you might talk to somebody else or something else, or you might just have an impression of a prayer or hear a sermon and something stands out. And it might be God bringing you to study something else. And you put that in your notes. That's another brick that's in this foundation. And as you keep record of these things and you start seeing what God is doing and how he's teaching you through these little they seem unrelated things throughout your life, after a while you start seeing the foundation that he's building has a certain structure that you are going to be familiar with. For me, it's my foundation of logic, apologetics, and stuff, philosophy and things that will be different than yours. And so that's what I believe, is that God teaches us and he uses circumstances to expose our ignorance, and that we should take that opportunity to learn from that ignorance, plug that hole, put that brick in place, and then keep going through life and see what God is putting in place so that we know on what to stand. If that makes sense. I hope it does.
It does. Thank you very much.
Sure. All right, man.
I think I'll try
God bless, buddy. God bless. All right. So, you know, folks, I hope I made myself clear. I haven't really talked about that analogy very much, so it's not very polished. But I think a lot of people don't realize is that God is working with them and teaching them little things, and they don't seem to study the little things that God wants them to study. They kind of ignore them and go on. I think if you were to study the things that he brings up, that over a period of time, you'll start seeing what God's doing. You'll start learning new things. And the foundation of truth that's based on these tidbits of truth things that he's exposed you to is a work that he has for you personally. And I think it's something to pursue and something to welcome from God. So there you go. I should be hearing the music right about now, and I don't. But I guess that's because we're off the air, I'm assuming, for the next bit here. So there we go. All right.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.